Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner with PricewaterhouseCoopers, and today's conversation is with Joe Cipriano, Program Executive Officer for Information Technology at the U.S. Department of Navy. And joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Bill Phillips.
Joe, in the last few months and the last couple of years, there's been a lot written about retirement and the retirement wave that's impacting the federal government. The Navy, I'm sure, is not immune to that. What are your thoughts on that situation? What are the specific challenges that the Navy has, and what kinds of things are you considering to help deal with that?
Yes, that is a concern, Bill, for us in the Department of the Navy, and we're looking at it in functional areas. The IT workforce in the Navy, for instance, was one of them where there was an aging population. We're looking at our average age going up. We're looking at getting to a crisis situation not too far away because our demands for that expertise were going up and the number of people we had were going down. And so one of the ways we're dealing with that is by turning over to industry responsibility for those things that aren't core, aren't things that we absolutely have to have our people do, so we can free up the folks we have left to do the things that we have to do ourselves in-house that are core to our mission. And I think that is a mitigating thing that can help. And I think for those areas that are not core mission, that is a strategy I think that's quite effective. Because if you give it to somebody where it is their front room business, they can probably do it more efficiently with less people. For instance, one of the reasons that NMCI has allowed us to get more for the same amount of money is that they use technology to reduce the number of people necessary. About 70% of the cost of running an IT network is personnel. But when you have a large enterprise network where you can consolidate server farms, you can have automatic failover, so they don't have to be manned. They can have a guy show up once a week to replace modules and whatnot. You can reduce that cost greatly. You can reduce the number of people it takes to get that capability. And I think there's a lot of opportunities like that when you look across a big enterprise that aren't available if you're looking at a piece of the enterprise, but become a cost-effective way to reduce manpower requirements as when you look at the enterprise from a top-down perspective, that will become evident. The other thing we try to do is we target key expertise that we need and recruit it at places that we've had success in the past. Use people that have come from there to help us with recruiting, so they can go tell them what great fun they're having working for us. And we offer in the Navy, and I think all the services, very challenging jobs. And what I found, and I've left a couple times and come back, is it's hard to find a job with as much scope, as much excitement as you can find working in the government. So people that are interested in that are interested in that big project challenge, an opportunity to work on multi-billion-dollar programs and do things that nobody's ever done before, there are a certain kind of people that love to do that kind of stuff, and we were able to attract them.
Are you finding, as you have changed the mix of technology, as you've moved technology off to the private sector, are you finding that the people who are remaining in the Navy are becoming more engaged and more excited about what their roles are, and therefore maybe encouraging them to stay or join?
I think, as a matter of fact, NMCI has, in fact, improved our retention in this area, because the work that's left is exciting work. It's more fun work. It's more challenging work than perhaps the work that they were doing before. And so I believe our retention numbers are up even in the enlisted and on the military side.
With the widespread expansion and advancement of technology, what kind of skills does a young person need who might be contemplating joining the Navy either as a civilian or a service member?
Well, I think most of our young people today have are a lot more tech savvy, and at least in computers and things, than I was, certainly, and that some of us were when we went through, because it's been built into our education system from elementary school on up these days. And those skills, I think, are important today, will be continuing important, because I believe the military, as well as most every place else, is going to be working on speeding up this decision process, which I keep coming back to. And IT is key to that. The technology that technology brings enables that speeding up of the decision process. And anyone, therefore, that has those kind of skills is going to be valuable for a long time to come, and be able to be used in many different kinds of jobs. The military, starts with good people, and we teach them the unique things that we do. But if you have a good, strong background understanding of technology. Systems engineering is another discipline that is highly valued. We engineer the largest systems in the world, and we have great jobs for systems engineers, and so we're always looking for them. But those kind of skills are very important to us. And if you want to do it for a time, I think that the military, all branches of the military, offer great opportunities for a young person to come in, get experience, get training that looks great on their resume for whatever they want to do for the long term.
What kinds of specific steps are you taking to get people, to attract workers and to retain them? You've described a number of things about the characteristics of the job, but how do you go out and actually get them and find them?
They find us. When you're doing something that's new and exciting, people come and they want to work for you. And we have people coming into the PEO all the time that want to work there because they've heard about the project. It sounds exciting. It sounds like something they want to be involved in. It's something they've always wanted to do and couldn't wherever it was they were. And I think if you have a project or that is big and new and different, and it's getting visibility, you don't have to hunt for them. They come. It's the jobs that you have to hunt people for are the ones that aren't so exciting.
You've described taking a pay cut a couple segments ago, several times, I think, in your career as you did this for challenging work. And I'm guessing from interviews, say, a year and a half ago, that all we heard was technology workers were drawn to, or stock options and very exciting internet things, think dot-coms. And I'm curious, sort of, what's the relationship between the pay differential, which I think exists in and around government, and this exciting work? Is that really enough?
It turns out that when you're having done it both ways, that you know, when you work in industry and you get paid more, I found that the more you get paid, the more you have to work. or as Pete Panofsky, who's a Nobel laureate, once told me, he said, "Your compensation is equal to the fun plus the mun." So if you're having fun, you probably aren't making as much money as somebody that isn't having fun. I know there are some exceptions to that, but generally the combination of fun and financial compensation should be what you look at, that total package. And sure enough, there is some great opportunities for fun and very interesting work in the government, even though it may not pay as well as there are other opportunities. So at different times of your life, that is a great thing to do. When you have kids you're trying to put through school, it's a little bit challenging sometimes.
What's your vision for the Navy over the next 10 years?
I think the Navy is truly on a path to be one of the best run organizations of any kind. They're really looking at getting information to decision makers faster, restructuring themselves from top to bottom, budget to planning to how we buy things, to how we think about things, to buying capability instead of stuff, to organizing to take advantage of technology to expand the boundaries of system. You know, we optimize systems based on what we're capable of comprehending and dealing with. And the ship used to be the biggest thing that the Navy built, and now we're building battle forces, you know, and joint task forces. And information as technology is making those physical and time boundaries between what's in the system and what isn't go away. And so to the extent we're able to understand that and manage that, we can extend the system to include assets anywhere on the globe to be part of the problem, solution, or the mission accomplishment. And the Navy understands that very well, and I believe it is preparing itself and its people to take advantage of that technology and move in that direction as quickly as they can.
How about the future in terms of its management capabilities? I mean, you described sort of the past where a leader or manager ran a ship or a battleship or a fleet, and now NMCI is a window into a future that has a great deal of civilians working with the Navy. Will the management skills and capabilities need to change too?
I think they will, and I think they are. How do you train people to manage big, big things? Because you can't do it in the old hierarchical well where you have one guy that's the boss and he runs everything because it's too big for anybody to understand. So you need to have contracts with employees and members of the organization that, okay, my contract to you is I'm going to provide you this, and your contract with me is you're going to go do this. And you go do that and operate as independently as you possibly can to do that. if you can't establish those contracts, if you can't break up the problem into pieces that you can allocate and contract with individuals to do, then there's a limit to how big the system is that you can manage and you can make work for you. And I think the managers that are successful at figuring out how to do that, figuring out how to structure their organizations, how to structure these relationships with the people that support them, will be the ones that are able to handle these very, very big systems and make them work to generate great benefit for the organization.
Well, Joe, I hate to bring this interesting conversation to an end, but we are out of time. And Bill and I want to thank you very much for being with us here today.
It's been a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure talking to both you, Paul, and Bill, and enjoyed it very much.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Joe Cipriano, Program Executive Officer for Information Technology at the U.S. Department of Navy. Be sure and visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. There you can learn more about our programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can also get a transcript of today's interesting conversation. Once again, that's endowment.pwcglobal.com. This is Paul Lawrence. See you next week.